So how do we get to heaven? Simple. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Give drink to the thirsty. Welcome the immigrant. Care for the sick. Visit the imprisoned. And how do we go to hell? Equally simple. Don't do those things. Except, of course, it's not that simple. No verse or passage or entire book of Holy Scripture can be considered a summary of all of divine revelation. We must always seek to read each and every part of divine revelation in the context of the whole. It is the very definition of heresy to take a verse of Scripture, a truth revealed by God, and separate it from the others, asking it to bear weight it was never designed to bear. Consider, for example, other words of the Savior recorded in the Gospels. To Nicodemus, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." To the great crowd, described in chapter 6 of John's Gospel, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And to Martha, sister of Mary and Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." So, which is it that is our entrance to eternal glory? Baptism? Receiving the Holy Eucharist? A personal act of faith? Or the way we treat other people? It is, of course, all of these. In a synthetic whole, the entirety of Christian faith and life. So this morning's passage from Matthew's Gospel is not a comprehensive doctrine of salvation, but it is an indication of what constitutes citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, where to serve is to reign. It is because we have been born again by water and the Holy Spirit in baptism, and because we are nourished under everlasting life by the medicine of immortality, the flesh and blood of the Savior, and because we believe that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, that we do these other things for all other persons. But more than that, St. Paul insists in the second lesson this morning that when Christ returns in glory on the last day, a return that will be unmistakable, something like the splendor described by the incomparable Charles Wesley in this morning's opening hymn, when he returns on the last day, the Lord Jesus will destroy every sovereignty, authority, and power, meaning he will lay low everything that is in rebellion against the will of God. Everything, in other words, that is sinful and disordered. But the purpose of destroying every sovereignty, authority, and power is not wreckage. It's to make creation whole. It's to bring about the new heavens and the new earth. The kingship of Christ is not the rule of a tyrant who will suffer no threats to his dominion. Rather, the kingship of Christ is the loving service of a shepherd. We heard from the prophet Ezekiel, "Thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep. As a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so will I tend my sheep. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest, says the Lord God." The fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy was foreshadowed in God's choice of the young shepherd boy David to become the anointed king of Israel. And the Lord Jesus, who is from eternity the Son of God, and in the fullness of time the Son of Mary, reveals himself to be Son of Man because he is the Son of David. What was prefigured by King David in the Old Covenant is fulfilled by the Lord Jesus in the New Covenant, he who is the Shepherd King of all creation. But if in the sheepfold of Christ there is room aplenty for lost sheep, and there is, over and over again he insists that his mission is to find and bring back the lost sheep. If there is room for the lost sheep, there is no room for the goats. And in the gospel this morning, the Lord Jesus tells us that he will separate the sheep from the goats. And then he explains the basis for the distinction. The goats among us live for themselves, while the sheep who belong to Christ live for others. We are this morning at the end of chapter 25 of Matthew's gospel. And as we saw last week in the parable of the talents, the Lord Jesus is describing the end of days and the final judgment, not to awaken in us the servile fear of slaves for their masters. Rather, he is teaching us that what we believe and how we live now in this life have eternal consequences, and that our personal dignity, our authentic freedom, and our share in his boundless glory are found now in loving our neighbors as ourselves. This morning we sang a portion of the most beloved of the Psalms of David, "The Lord is my shepherd." On this feast of the Shepherd King of all creation, our great challenge is to surrender our entire lives ever more completely to the reign of God, excluding everything in us that is selfish, that is turned in, that is contrary to God's will, and learning to live as the Lord Jesus teaches us to live, for the sake of God and all others for God's sake. And in that struggle, our own individual struggle against personal sin, our common struggle against the consequences of sin in human society, in that struggle, our great consolation is the bright vision of which King David sings. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."